This is the true word of God. The word of God is true. I believe what it says it is. I can do what it says I can do. I believe God has given us this word today so we can be blessed. Going in, going out. In the cities and in the fields. And we can receive the word and make a difference in this word by spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, God, once again, we thank you, we praise you, we magnify you, and we lift you up, and we give you all the praise, and we give you all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. You may be seated. Amen. Just letting you know that you don't have to follow a script every time. You can let the Holy Spirit lead you in saying whatever you want to say. Don't feel like you've got to follow a script. Amen. Because the Bible says, who the Son shall set free is free indeed. You follow a script if you want to, but don't feel like you're in bondage to it. Amen. Open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 17. Matthew chapter 17. For those of you who were not here last week, this is a continuation of a message I taught last week called True Faith Produces Positive Outcome. True faith produces positive outcome. If you're not here, that's fine. No, I will catch you up. True faith produces positive outcome. True faith produces positive outcome. Amen. Hallelujah. Matthew chapter 17. Are you there yet? Amen. Matthew chapter 17, let's start with verse 14. Once again, the Bible says in verse 14, and when Jesus and the disciples, okay, and when they, okay, I'm going to wait for these guys to finish doing whatever it is that they're doing. Amen. Amen. We got you locked up in that area, sir. Amen. 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 When Jesus and the disciples were coming to come to the multitude, there came to him a certain man kneeling down to him, saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed, for oftentimes he falleth into the fire and oftentimes into the water. And I brought him to your disciples, and they could not cure him. Okay, they could not cure him. They could not cure him. Then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I put up with you? Or the King James says, I suffer you. He said, bring the boy to me. The Bible says in Jesus, verse 18, and Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very same hour. Y'all still with me? Amen. And the disciples came to Jesus apart. In other words, they got Jesus by himself. And they said, Jesus, why could we not cast out that demon? And the Bible says that Jesus told them, because of your unbelief. Amen. I mentioned to you last week, for those who were here, that Matthew chapter 17 is one of the most misunderstood scriptures, a set of scriptures in the Bible. And the reason for that is because people try to interpret it the way they want to interpret it instead of following what Jesus said, okay? Instead of following what Jesus said, in other words, they make it complicated. They come up with all kinds of ways, well, but they don't follow what Jesus said. And once again, as we just read in this series of scripture, a man had a son with signs of epilepsy. Signs of epilepsy. Y'all still with me? Amen. Which is a chronic brain disorder that causes people to have recurrent seizures, okay? And that's what was going on in this series of scripture. The boy was having seizures, and he was doing all kinds of things because he couldn't control himself. Are y'all still with me? Okay, so the boy had signs of epilepsy, okay, a chronic brain disease. But the series of scripture lets us know that the boy did not really have a brain disorder. The reason why the boy was having seizures is because he was possessed with a demon. Y'all still with me? Amen. He was possessed with a demon. Amen. 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 So the man took the boy to Jesus' disciples, and the Bible says that they could not heal him. Okay. Now, I mentioned last week that there could have been many reasons why the man took the boy to the disciples. Number one, maybe they saw some of the healings that Jesus did, and the disciples were there, okay? Maybe they figured since Jesus was doing some healings, feeding the hungry, raising the dead, and the disciples were there, maybe they figured like the disciples would probably know how to do those things also. You all still with me? Amen. But the Bible tells us that he took the boy to the disciples, and the Bible tells us that they could not heal the man's son. They couldn't do it. Amen. The Bible, I put emphasis last week on the word could, because the scriptures did not tell us that they would not heal him. The Bible says that they could not heal him. And how many of you know there's a difference between would and could? And the difference could be a faith issue. Y'all still with me? It could be a faith issue there, because the Bible never said that they would not. It said they could not. So what that tells me is that there's a possibility, I was not there, but there's a possibility that they tried to heal the boy, but they could not cast out the demon. Because once again, they could not. It never said that they would not. It said they could not, which tells me they might have put forth some effort. Y'all still with me? Amen. So Jesus told the man to bring your son to me. Bring him to me, okay? And the Bible tells us here in the series of scripture that Jesus said, "Oh, faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you?" And he told the man to bring the boy to him. And the Bible tells us that Jesus rebuked the devil, the demonic demon, out of the boy, and the boy was cured that same hour. Are y'all still with me? Now, I mentioned to you about a misinterpretation, and I believe that many people misinterpret the scripture, okay? Because if you see the rest of the series of scripture here, Jesus said in verse 20, let's read the whole thing. And Jesus said to him, because of your unbelief, okay, and that's why they couldn't cast him out. He said, they said, why couldn't we cast him out? Jesus said, because of your unbelief. And then he started talking about the faith of a mustard seed. And then in verse number 21, you see, he said, howbeit, this kind goeth out not but by fasting and praying. Do y'all see that? He said, this kind goeth out only by fasting and praying. Now, I believe a lot of people misinterpret the series of scripture here because of what's written in Mark chapter 9. Because in Mark chapter 9, the same thing that's going on in Matthew, you know, Mark is giving his account of what happened in the book of Matthew. And in the book of Matthew, when they asked Jesus, matter of fact, let's go there. Go to Mark 9. Let's go to Mark 9. Okay, Mark 9. Okay, I want to show you. I got Mark 9. Amen. Okay. Because in Mark 9, verses 28 and 29, it never says anything about you because of your unbelief. You know, immediately, are you all there yet? Immediately, the Bible says in verse 28, and when he came to the house, the disciples asked him privately, why could we not cast out the devil? Okay, why couldn't we do it? And the Bible says that, and Jesus said, this kind can come forth by nothing but what? Prayer and fasting. So because people see that series of scripture in Mark, okay, people said the reason why they couldn't cast out the demon is because this kind comes all by fasting and praying. Well, what about unbelief? Because Jesus said in Matthew, the reason why they couldn't cast them out is because of their unbelief. And then he starts talking about the mustard seed. And then he said, this kind cometh out but by fasting and praying. So many people think that Jesus is talking about that isolated situation, that the reason why they couldn't cast them out because they didn't fast and pray. But I submit to you that that's not exactly what Jesus was talking about. That is part of it, but we're going to get into that today. Y'all still with me? Because see, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 4 that man should not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeded out of the mouth of God. And I mentioned to us last week that the difference between Matthew and Mark is that Matthew was a disciple who followed Jesus around pretty much everywhere he went. Mark was an eyewitness of Jesus, but he didn't follow them around all the time because he was not one of the 12 disciples. You all still with me? Amen. Some of the things Mark probably witnessed with his eyes, he saw it. And maybe some of the things Mark wrote, maybe somebody might have told him, because he was pretty close to Peter. And Peter hung out with Jesus because, guess what? Peter was one of the 12 what? Disciples. Y'all saw? Just maybe. But the Bible says that we don't live by bread alone, but by every word. That means that as Christians, we have to study the word of God, okay? Not some of it, but all of it. Because I want to direct your attention, since you're in Mark, I want to direct your attention to Mark chapter 17. Verse 17. Mark chapter 9, verse 17. Because we have the same, once again, this is part of the same situation that's going on in Matthew. And we're finding it here in verse 17. It's talking about the boy, the man's son had the dumb spirit. And he said the disciples in verse 17, they could not cast him out. And Jesus said the same thing in verse 19 that he said in Matthew. He said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" Do y'all see that? And then he asked the boy, goes a little bit more detail, how long had the man had the demon in him? And the man said he ever since he was a child, you know. And then the man explained the same symptoms to Jesus in Luke that was explained in Matthew. But look at what Jesus said in verse number 23. He says, "If thou can believe, all things are possible to him that believes." Now, I'm going to add a little bit to that without changing, you know, the scripture, okay? He says, all things are possible to him that believeth. That all things are possible to him that believeth. All things are possible to him that believeth. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 19, you don't have to go there, that with man it is impossible, but with God all things are possible. So although Jesus did not say that about believing right between verses 27 and 28, the Bible tells us that the reason why the demon was not cast out is because there was a faith problem, because someone didn't believe that they could heal, that they could cast out the demon. Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So they missed, people miss out on, when people discuss the scripture, they miss out on the main reason why the disciples could not cast out the demon. They couldn't do it because of their unbelief. Because unbelief hangs out with doubt. And when we do not believe in God and doubt his word, a lot of times we would not receive the benefits that we would receive if we live by faith in God and not by sight. Y'all still with me? So that tells me that there was a faith problem there, because once again, the reason why they could not cast out the man is because of their what? Unbelief. Now I'm going to get into the fasting and praying later on. Just don't go home yet. Amen, amen, amen. Amen. So once again, notice what Jesus said when they asked him, go back over to Matthew, when they asked Jesus, why could we not cast the devil out, the demon out? I mean, why could we not heal? Well, they said cast out the demon. Why could we not cast out? That's what they said, okay? They asked him, why could we not do it? And Jesus told them, once again, you've already seen this, in he said, the reason why you could not do it is because of your unbelief. Verse number 20, y'all see that? Now, I told you once before, sometimes when I read the Bible, I like to read what it does not say. Because if I read what it does not say, it will give me a better understanding of what it does say. Y'all still with me? In this case, notice, y'all ready? Y'all ready? Y'all got on your seatbelts this morning? You sure? You sure? Better tighten them up. Notice what Jesus did not say. Notice what he did not say. When they asked Jesus, why couldn't we cast him out? Notice what Jesus did not say. Notice he didn't say, because you did not believe that you could do it. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you couldn't cast him out because you did not believe that you could do it. He said, you couldn't cast them out because of your unbelief. That's very important. He didn't say you could not cast them out because you could not do it. You did not because you could not do it. He said you could not cast them out because of your unbelief. That's very important. Y'all still with me? They could not do it because of their unbelief, because they were living with doubt. Stay with me. That's important. You still got your seatbelts on? Y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. See, they had a faith problem. They had a faith problem. Listen, maybe not just for that isolated situation. Maybe they just had a faith problem in general. Not just for that one situation. Maybe in general. So maybe that's why Jesus said, because of your unbelief, see. Because I mentioned to you just a few seconds ago, Jesus did not say that you could not do it because you did not believe that you could do it. That's not what the scripture say. The scripture said that you could not do it because of your unbelief. So that raises another question. The question is that what did they not have unbelief in? What did they not have unbelief in? Well, they didn't have belief that they could cast out. Is that it? What did they not have unbelief in? That's a good question. Listen to this. Unbelief in one thing can lead to unbelief in another thing. And unbelief in another thing could lead to unbelief in all things. If I have unbelief in one situation, maybe I could also have unbelief in another situation. And if I have unbelief in one situation in another situation, maybe I have unbelief in a lot more situations. In other words, maybe I have faith problems in a lot more situations. Maybe not just one. Are y'all still with me? See, I mentioned last week that one of the reasons why I believe that they could not cast out the demon is because they did not believe in the authority that Jesus had already given them to cast out demons. Because we saw in Matthew chapter 10 last week, I'm not going there for the sake of time, Matthew chapter 10, verses 1 through 6, Jesus was talking to the 12 disciples, and he said, I give you the authority to cast out demons. So they had the authority to do it. He gave them the authority to cast out demons. So they had the authority to do it. Matthew chapter 10 tells us that. We're not going to go there for the sake of time. You know. But apparently they did not have the belief in the authority that Jesus had given them in Matthew 10 to cast out devils. Because Jesus said, I'll give you power to do it. See? It seems that they didn't have belief in the power of God, you know, to cast out the devils, because Jesus gave them the power back in Matthew chapter 10. Y'all still with me? Maybe they couldn't cast him out because maybe they didn't believe or did not know that the boy was possessed with a demon. Maybe they didn't know it. I mean, no, knowledge is power. Maybe they didn't know it. So maybe that's why they didn't cast him out, because they did not know that the boy had a demon. Because the man never told them that the boy had the demon, the father. The Bible says the Bible asked him, could he kill the boy? from what he was dealing with, from the seizures. He didn't say anything about a demon. So maybe the man didn't know that his son was possessed with a demon. See, Christians, what am I trying to get you to see? Well, let me say this before I tell you what I'm trying to get you to see. Maybe they thought the boy just had a brain disorder. And that was the reason for the seizures. Y'all still with me? And the reason for that is maybe it's because instead of being spiritually minded, they was naturally minded. See, what I'm trying to get us to see is this. Some things that happen in the world is not based on the natural. Some things are spiritual. Y'all still with me? Just because someone is going through symptoms of things, it may not be a natural thing like a brain disorder. Maybe it's a spiritual thing. Are y'all still with me? Because the Bible tells us that we battle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, you know, the rulers of the darkness in this world, spiritual wickedness in high places. So we are engaged in spiritual warfare. And sometimes people face situations in life, it's not natural, it's spiritual. Y'all still with me? In other words, the enemy comes to try to steal, kill, and destroy us. Are y'all still with me this morning? So maybe the disciples thought that the boy just had a brain disorder. So they caused the seizures. So they was trying to heal him, but they made no effort to cast out the demon because they didn't know that he had a demon. They were just trying to heal him from that natural brain disorder that they thought he had. What I'm trying to get us to see is this. We need to start thinking more spiritually, especially with Christians. See? Because we miss out on doing the works of Jesus in this world, laying hands on the sick, you know, or doing miracles, some miracles that Jesus did. They weren't miracles to him. They'd be miracles to us. We miss out because we look at everything as being a natural problem instead of a spiritual problem. And we tell people, well, I'll go pray for you, which is a good thing. But maybe if we focus more on the spiritual, maybe it's something that we can do at that particular time to cast out the demon. Just maybe. Y'all still with me? Maybe the reason for that, once again, is because they were carnal-minded instead of spiritual-minded. See, the boy did not have a natural problem. He had a spiritual problem. He was being attacked. And then, well, listen, wasn't nothing the doctor could do. See, because in dealing with spiritual warfare, we have to use spiritual weapons. Y'all still with me? Because the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, you don't have to go there, that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations, and every high thing that acknowledges itself against the knowledge of God, and taking into every thought to the obedience of Christ. In other words, we cannot deal with spiritual issues from a natural mindset because it don't work. And maybe this disciple will just operate from the natural instead of the spiritual because they walked by, they didn't walk by faith. They walk by sight. Faith problem. They tried to heal the boy based on what they saw. Because maybe they were spiritual. Maybe they, in that situation, they were naturally minded. So once again, Jesus said, because of your what? Unbelief. Listen to this. Are y'all ready? Spiritual weapons works through spiritual faith. I'll say that again. Spiritual weapons works through or by spiritual faith. See, there's faith and there's spiritual faith. And another name for spiritual faith, you're not going to find it in the book anywhere. It's not in the book. Another name for spiritual faith is true faith. Because spiritual faith only comes from God. You know that measure that he gave you, you know, to get you to be transformed from the darkness to light? Yeah, that's spiritual faith. It's godly faith. It's not the worldly kind of faith. It's the God kind. Y'all still with me? So spiritual faith is true faith. And there's a big difference between regular faith that people say they live by and true faith. True faith always produces positive results. Once again, a lot of Christians who should be doing, you know, because Jesus said greater works will you do because I go to the Father. A lot of us should be doing things that Jesus did, but the problem is that many of us, although we are Christians, we are still focusing on the natural more than we are the spiritual. We are more naturally minded than spiritually minded. That's why the Bible, that's why this year we need to have a greater spiritual thirst for God. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, and amen. See, true faith always produces positive outcomes or results. Well, I gave you the definition of true faith last week. Let me give it to you all who was not here. True faith is belief. This, you will not find this in a book anywhere. You will not find it on the internet anywhere. Amen. Divine revelation. You need to depend more on the Holy Spirit instead of always going by what the man said. Y'all still with me? True faith. Listen to this. Believing that there is nothing too hard for God and acting on it by allowing the power of God to operate or to work in your life without doubting his power. Once again, I'll say it again. You know, believing, true faith is believing that there is nothing too hard for God and acting on it, because faith is an action word, acting on it by allowing God's power to work in your life without doubting his power. Y'all still with me? Now, I'm going to support that with the scripture. I want you to go to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I'm just trying to help us this morning. We got to change our mindset, okay? Philippians chapter 2. Don't worry, I'm going to get back to the fasting and praying part. Don't worry. Amen, amen, amen. Philippians 2. That was part of it, but that wasn't the main issue. The main issue, it was because of their unbelief. Okay? Faith and, amen, amen, amen. Philippians, right? I'm going to say Philippians. Philippians. Chapter 2. Amen. Are y'all with me? The Apostle Paul here is talking to these Christians at Philippi. I'm not going to give you much history here. I just want you to read the scripture. Look at verse 12. He said to them, he said, wherefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13 says, for it is who? God. For it is God which do what? Worketh where? In you. Where God work? Where does he work? In you. Your body is a temple of who? The Holy Spirit. And he's where? In you. He dwells in you. You know, once again, see, the Holy Spirit, Jesus and God, they're not separate. They don't separate themselves like we do. You know, they're always on the same accord. Y'all still with me? So once again, the Bible says, for it is God that worketh in you both to will and to do his good pleasure. Notice the Bible didn't say your good pleasure or my good pleasure. The Bible says he worketh to do his good pleasure. In other words, what pleases him. What pleases him? So once again, the Bible says, okay, you know, he works in us. He worketh in us. So once again, true faith is believing that there is nothing too hard for God, because the word of God says that, okay? And acting on it by allowing God's power to work in your life, in my life, without doubting his power. Once again, the disciples had the authority to cast out demons. So why didn't they do it? Well, once again, maybe they didn't know the boy was possessed, because they were too naturally minded than spiritually minded. Now, I was not there. But scriptures suggest to me that when Jesus said, because of your unbelief, he was not just talking about that one isolated situation. Because there are several scriptures in the Bible that tells us that they had a faith problem. Several scriptures. I haven't got there yet. Amen. True faith also says that you can't do anything on your own. But it says that, but you can do all things through who? Christ. Philippians 4:13. You can do all things through Christ. The true faith, Jesus tells us in John 15, he says, without me, you can do what? Nothing. That's what he says. Y'all still with me? True faith causes us or helps us to be spiritually minded instead of carnal or worldly minded. That's what true faith does. I'm not talking about just regular faith. And when Jesus talked about in the series, in the scripture, I didn't read it yet, when he's talking about the faith of a mustard seed, he's talking about true faith right there. He's not talking about just regular, he's talking about true faith, you know. He's talking about true faith. True faith causes us to focus more on being spiritual minded than carnal minded. And there is a big difference between spiritually minded and carnal minded. And we saw it a couple of weeks ago for the sake of this message. I want to go back to it. Go to Romans chapter 8 very quickly. Romans 8. Have I lost anybody? Romans 8. Don't worry, I'm going to get to the fasting and prayer. Romans chapter 8. Amen. Are you there yet? Look at verse number 6. The Bible says, for to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is what? Life and peace. Well, that tells us right there, there's a difference between being carnal minded and spiritually minded. For to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, opposition, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh or carnal minded people cannot please God. Do y'all see that? I want you to go over to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. See, a word of knowledge, we don't just talk the word, we show the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, that's a good motto. We don't just talk the word, we show the word. That's good. Somebody break that down for me, so I won't forget. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. I want you to look at verse number 12. Paul is talking to Christians. The Apostle Paul is talking to Christians at Corinth. Look at what he said. He said, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God. Are y'all there yet? Am I going too fast? We have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that which is of God. That tells me there's two different spirits. There's the spirit of the world, and there's the spirit of God. The Bible, when the Bible talks about the spirit of the world, it says the spirit that in the series of scripture, I think it's in the book of Corinthians, Ephesians. It said one of them. It said the spirit that now works in the children of what? Disobedience. That's the spirit of the world. I mean, I shouldn't be laughing because the spirit working, you know, but you know, amen. That's the spirit of the world. It's a different spirit. So once again, but once again, verse 12, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Uh-oh, here we go again. Let me read that again. There it is. Look at what it says. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit of God. The reason why we received it is so that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. One thing that God has given to us is the authority to cast out demons, the authority to heal the sick by the laying on of hands. Those are things God has given to us, not by power, not by might, but by his spirit. Y'all still with me? Amen. Okay, he's not going to do it. He's already did it, because the gospel tells us that these things shall I'll read the scripture later on. Those who believe in my name, they shall cast out devils. In my name shall they do wonderful work. So he's not going to do it. He already have done it. Well, why aren't we doing those things that Jesus told us to do? Well, I'll tell you why. The reason why many people are not doing them is because they are too carnally minded instead of spiritually minded, and they don't believe in the power that God has given them or the authority that God has given them to do these things that are needed in this sick world. The Bible tells us to be not conformed to the world, and a lot of Christians are conformed to the world's ways, the world's systems, and that's why a lot of miracles are not happening in this world, because Christians do not believe in the authority that God has given to them to lay hands on the sick so the sick can recover. They're too carnally minded instead of spiritually minded. That's why you don't see miracles happen. That's why many times we do not experience the move of the Holy Spirit in the church, because we're too focused on the natural. Whether our praise team doing it, the praise ain't doing it. Listen, just come in here and praise the Lord. Lift up your hand to Jesus. Forget about the person on your left or your right. Just praise God for, like Nene said on Wednesday night, not for what he has done, but for who he is. Become more spiritually minded instead of carnally minded, and then we will be able to do the things that Jesus said we could do in his name, because we're focusing on spiritual things. We've got to change our mindset. If we did what Jesus told us to do, every chair in every church will be filled. But Christians only care about themselves. Y'all still with me this morning? Amen. So once again, to be spiritually minded. We're not, okay, amen. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to God, which things also we speak, not in the words that men's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaching, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Verse 14 says, but the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. That's why we have to become more spiritually minded, so we can start understanding spiritual things and realize that when people are going through situations, well, you know, they got it because it's hereditary, because their mama had it. Forget that. You need to lay hands on the sick so they can recover. Amen. It's hereditary. Don't you know the name of Jesus is above the name of hereditary? Because the Bible says the name of Jesus. What am I trying to get us to do? To have some confidence. To start doing what the Word of God tells us to do. To make a difference in this sick world. Instead of complaining about it, let's do something about it. And the Bible even tells us, God says that I will never leave you nor forsake you. He's with us every step of the way. Are y'all still with me? Amen. See? See, True faith causes us to say, not I, but Christ that liveth in me. Talking about true faith. They asked Jesus, why could we not cast him out? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief. See, listen to this. They tried to heal the boy by faith. But instead, they operated in doubt and unbelief because they did not use true faith. And Christians, we can say we walk by faith and not by sight all day long, but if we're not living by true faith, we are living by unbelief and doubt. And that's why some people pray to God for things. Well, I believe the Lord is going to do it. His word says this. I believe, I believe, I believe. And they pray about the situation, and then they stay up. The Bible says, cast all my cares on him, for he cares for me. So, God, I'm just going to cast them on you. And then they go to bed and can't sleep all night long. I thought they said they cast the cares on him. If they cast them on him, how can they still go to bed with the cares? I'll tell you why. Because that's church talk. And talk is cheap, don't cost us nothing. Y'all still with me? They tried to heal by faith, but it wasn't true faith. Because if it had been true faith, the boy would have been healed, because Jesus said, go back to Matthew chapter 17, because Jesus said, this is Jesus talking, this is him talking. Jesus said, look at what he said here in Matthew chapter 17, verse number 20. Y'all still with me? And Jesus said, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you, if you have faith of a mustard seed. What he's saying is that it don't take a whole lot of true faith. If you have true faith, and I'm talking about the God kind of faith, because the Bible tells us in Mark chapter 11, verse 22, have faith in God. True faith is a God kind. In other words, I believe it because God said it. And I'm going to do it because God told me to do it. And I know if I do what God tells me to do, there are going to be positive outcomes. Why? Because I obeyed his word. Y'all still with me? See, I told you last week, we have to stop looking at ourselves as weak, spaghetti back, laid back, I'm just a sinner saved by grace Christians. We need to understand that we are fearfully and wonderfully made. We understand that God made us to be bold. And, you know, we need to understand who our daddy is. We need to understand we are children of the Most High God, and stop letting these things of the world cause us to doubt what the Word of God tells us. See, people read the Word, but they don't believe it. Bible said he give me the desires of my heart. Well, yeah, those do say that. But the Bible also tells us first to delight yourself in the Lord. Then he will give you the desires of your heart. And delight don't mean to be happy. It means to obey his word. Do his will. Are y'all still with me? Amen, amen, amen. So listen, they tried to heal by faith because they said we could not do it. They didn't say we would not. They said we could not. They tried to do it, but natural faith do not work for spiritual problems. And everything, Christian, that happens in your life or someone else's life, it's not natural. It's spiritual. In order to deal with spiritual things, I already told us, it takes spiritual weapons. And many Christians today are not experiencing the power of God in their life, because although they say they are living by faith, they are living by unbelief and doubt. Why? Because they're living by the wrong kind of faith. If it's not true faith, it's not faith at all. You take a test in school and you take a true or false answer, and guess what? And it's supposed to be true, and you check false, guess what? You're going to get a zero. Because it's not true. Y'all still with me? Jesus said, you shall know the truth, and the truth shall do what? Not set. They don't say set. It said make you free. If it sets you free, somebody can come and change your channel on your TV set. Well, people use remote control these days. Y'all still with me? True faith always produces positive outcomes. And the example of true faith is when Jesus said, if you have faith the size of a mustard seed. Now, I want to get back to the this kind. Because the scripture said that this kind. They said, why couldn't we cast them out? And Jesus said, this kind cometh out only by fasting and praying. After he said, because of your unbelief. Y'all still with me? This kind goeth not out but by fasting and prayer. Those words is his exact words. But I don't believe he was talking about just one isolated situation. Because as the disciples walked with Jesus, there were many situations where he had to get on them about their lack of faith. Are y'all still with me? In Mark chapter 11, verse 22, the Bible tells us, Jesus told his disciples to have faith in God. If you shall say to this mountain, be thou removed, and be thou cast yourself into the sea, and shall not doubt, but believe these things that he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. That's another problem. We say negative things and expect positive results. The Bible tells us that death and life is in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. In other words, if I love the power of death, I'm going to eat death. If I love the power of fruits, I'm going to eat fruit. Life and death is in the power of the tongue. So you have to be careful what you say. Man, I had this thing for 3 weeks, man. I just don't know when I'm going to get over it. Guess what? You probably won't. Because you said it. Well, every year this time I catch a cold, you probably will. Because you said it. Well, I don't think I'm gonna pass that exam. You probably won't, because you said it. I just don't know how I'm gonna get the money to pay this bill I have. You probably won't, because you said it. When the Bible says, "My God shall supply all my needs according to His glory and riches through Christ Jesus," we have to start saying what the Word says instead of what we say. Because the Bible never says that our word shall not return void. It says God's word shall not return void. So we need to start speaking God's word. Are y'all still with me? But once again, Jesus said, this kind goeth out but by fasting and praying. I do not believe he was talking about that isolated situation, because there was many situations when Jesus had to get on them about their lack of faith. In Matthew chapter 21, when Jesus cursed the fig tree, and the disciples saw the fig tree, and they're like, man, wow, look at the tree. And Jesus said, if you have faith and doubt not. In other words, he was telling them they had a faith problem. Not only will this tree do what you say, but whatever else you say shall come to pass, if you have faith and doubt not. Y'all still with me? In Matthew chapter 14, when Peter walked on water and then he started to doubt, Jesus said, O ye of what? Little faith. Why for did you doubt? That's another situation. Are y'all still with me? Amen. In Luke chapter 17, he talked about the mustard seed. He said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can speak to that sycamore tree, and that tree will obey you. That's another situation. Y'all still with me? Y'all want some more? Amen. In Luke chapter 8, when Jesus then came to the other side, and they was in the ship, and Jesus decided to take a nap and go to sleep, And then the Bible says there was a storm, and the disciples got all excited, and they woke Jesus up, and you know, from his sleep. Jesus told them, he says, where is your faith? Are y'all still with me? So I can go on and on and on. But all throughout the scriptures, there was evidence that the disciples had a faith problem. I told you earlier, if you have unbelief in one thing, it can lead to another thing. And if you're not careful, it will lead to all things. They had faith problems. And here's another situation where they had the opportunity to use the power that Jesus had given them the authority to use to cast out a demon. But because they were naturally minded, instead of being spiritually minded, they tried to heal the boy from a natural point of view in trying to use natural faith, and it didn't work. And then when Jesus came and identified the real problem of them having a demonic spirit, Jesus cast the demon out, and they asked Jesus, why couldn't we do it? Well, maybe it's because they didn't try to. Because they did not realize that it was a spiritual matter and not a natural brain disorder matter. So they tried to heal the boy's brain instead of cast out the demon. Am I helping anybody this morning? See, Christian, what is Jesus saying to us when he says, this kind goeth not out but by fasting and praying? What is he saying? I mean, the Bible is written for Christians. I mean, Matthew can't read it right now because he's gone. The boy, daddy can't read it right now because he's gone. I hope he don't. What Jesus is trying to tell us, because I didn't go to John 14. He says, the works that I do, you shall be able to do also when you go to the Father. And he said, greater works shall you do because I go to the Father. Well, why aren't we doing those works? Why aren't we doing them? I mean, that's what he said. He's giving us the authority to do it. Once again, what he's trying to get us to see is this. To be able to heal the sick, to be able to cast out demons, to be able to do the works that Jesus did when he was on earth, to be able to experience the true faith in us, the true faith will produce positive to us, to be able to resist doubt, to be able to resist unbelief on a continuous basis, not just sometimes. Because people have faith for some things, they just have unbelief for other things. He said to be able to do those things on a consistent basis, we must live a life of faith consistently, constantly, and always. In everything. We must always live a life of faith, not for some things, but for all things. We must live a life of faith. And the only way we can live a life of faith on a consistent basis is by always, constantly, consistently having a life of prayer and fasting. Not just for one thing, but for all things. We should have constantly be fasting and praying as long as we live in this world. Not for one isolated thing, but for all things. Jesus said, because of your unbelief. Well, we just found out they had a faith problem in a lot of things. And at this point, he brought it out. Well, guess what? If we want to be able to do what Jesus did, okay? If we want to be able to overcome this doubt and unbelief, we must have a life, we must live a life of praying and fasting all the time. Not just when we want to do one thing, but for all things. Every day. Because the Bible tells us in Luke 18:1 that man shall always pray and not give up, not lose heart. I think King James says not faint. Okay? We should always pray. See? Because when we live a life of praying and fasting on a consistent basis, always, when we live a life of prayer and fasting, it helps us to become more spiritually minded. Y'all still with me? It helps us to focus more on spiritual things than natural things. And by doing so, it also helps us to have a better connection to God. It helps us to better understand God. It helps us to better understand His will and His ways. It helps us to know that we truly can do all things through Christ. But Christians don't spend enough time praying, and they definitely don't want to fast. And when they do fast, they focus more on what they can eat than communicating with God. Once again, the natural. They focus on natural food. Can I have a cheeseburger? No, 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 no. What you do? Don't fast. Just don't do it. Because they have the wrong motive. But I got to go two guys. We got one more day and I can eat some chicken. No, no, no. Don't fast. Fasting needs to be spiritually minded. I can't be concerned about it. And the funny thing about it, you have some people go all day, don't even eat, they don't even realize it. But as soon as they start fasting, that old natural stomach starts growling and they want to quit fasting. No, you need to continue. Because things happen through praying and fasting. And if the disciples had a permanent, constantly fasting and praying, they wouldn't have any problem casting out the demon, because they would have realized that it wasn't a natural problem, it was a spiritual problem. But they didn't. Are y'all still with me? True faith produces positive outcomes. The Bible tells us in Matthew 21, you don't have to go there for the sake of time, it says, all things that we ask in prayer, it shall be given to us. Christians, there's a lot of things that we should be doing, we're not doing. Why? Because we don't believe in the power of God that's working on the inside of us. And we are allowing unbelief and doubt to overcome us. Why? Because many people are too carnal-minded than spiritually-minded, because they don't spend enough time with God in prayer and in fasting. And a lot of things that's going on in this world, they are spiritual, Christians. They are spiritual. This guy, I heard his testimony yesterday. Listen to this. Holly was there. This one of the ministers that was teaching in the men's conference went to. This is what he told us. He said that he was in a situation. Listen to this. Listen to this. He was in a situation where the doctors, they said he was going to die. Y'all ready for this? Listen. He was in hospice. And people say, well, they're in hospice, you know they're going to die. See, that's doubt and unbelief. He's in hospice. And I probably, a lot of people say, yeah, he gone. Get ready for the funeral. Let's do a, what they doing on the internet when they need money for funerals? Let's do a GoFundMe because he's getting ready to go. But by his faith, he's still alive. Preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. And sharing his testimony. So, can't believe what the world say. It's not over till God say it's over. And as Christians, we have been given the authority to make a difference in this world. I'm going to prove it to you right quick. I'm going to be done. I'm going to Mark 16. You don't have to go there for the sake of time. I'm going to go there. Mark 16. This is what Jesus tells us to do. Mark 16. This is what he said. Mark 16. Y'all still with me? Amen. Mark 16. It wasn't for the disciples. It's for us. Look what he said in verse number 15. He says, go you into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Are we doing that? Most of us probably not. He said, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. He said, and these signs shall follow them that believe in my name. They shall do what? Cast all devils. How many devils are you casting out? They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. He's not saying, don't just drink something. I'm going to see if it's going to hurt me. Don't do that. That's not wisdom. He says, and they shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. When the last time you laid hands on somebody that was sick? Matthew 28. I'm going there. I'm going to be done. Matthew 28. Because this is what Jesus tells us to do. Matthew 28. You know, he said, verse 18, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. And he says, go you therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whichever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the world. How many of us do that? How many of us do that? Stand to your feet. Christians, what I'm trying to get us to see is this again. As Christians, we are here in this world. You have to praise and worship God, to serve God. But we're also here to make a difference in this world. And it does not matter how long you've been a Christian. It does not matter whether you have a title or not. It does not matter if you were saved last night or last year. Because you are a Christian, and if you're not one, you can be one today, it costs you nothing. You have been given the authority to make a difference in this world. Who, me? Yes, you. When people say you are nothing, you can't make it, don't worry about what they say. Worry about what the Word of God, think about what the Word of God says. As Christians, the Bible says that you are more than conquerors through Christ Jesus. We have to overcome that unbelief. We have to overcome doubt. Because there are many things. There's many ways that we can change this world. But we do not attempt to do it because we do not believe that we can do it. The Bible says all things are possible to those who believe that all things are possible. To those who believe. Through Christ Jesus. Don't always think, well, I got to get somebody. Let me call her. No, you do it. Amen. Call Pastor Ron. No. Pastor Ron, you do it. Now I'll come. But you do it. You need to start having more confidence in who you are in Christ Jesus. You know, the Bible says, if any man in Christ, he's a new creature. You're not the same person who you used to be. Maybe back in the day you couldn't do it, but you can do it now through Christ. Just do your part. If you don't visually witness the healing, don't worry about it. At least you did your part. At least you laid the hands. Have confidence. Don't worry about what man say. Don't worry about what people say. Doesn't matter what their position is in life. The CEO, the OEC. Doesn't matter what their rank is. You know. Doesn't matter whether they have a title or not. Listen, don't let nobody tell you you can't do it. The Bible says you can do all things through Christ. And the last time I looked up the word all, it meant all. Through Christ. Through Christ. If you have faith, grain of mustard seed. That's true faith. And true faith, once again, says, I'm going to believe in God. There's nothing impossible for him. And I'm going to allow the power of God to operate on the inside of me without doubting. Because I need more faith. None of you have true faith. I mean, the more you have, the more you have. But don't limit the faith that God has given to us. The Bible said we are saved by grace through faith. Don't forget that faith. Because God gave it to us. Listen to this. And he never took it back. Amen. Somebody give God a hand praise because he's here. What a mighty God we serve.